All right. Good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, my dear listeners. Good morning. Well, yeah, that happens. Sometimes that happens, you know, some technical things that keep us a little bit keep us actually transferring the mic on this side of the world. Well, it has arrived. So, yeah, good morning to you. And welcome to Eagle FM, and you know, welcome to Unpacking the Day. Thanks for joining us this morning. So we're about 20 minutes, a bit late. It's just because of some technical stuff, some technical things that we couldn't come much earlier. So we apologize for that. So, and thanks for being patient. Thanks for being patient. And good morning to you. How is your morning? Hopefully we haven't really, you know, disturbed your morning a little bit. We're still here. Don't worry. We're still here. So welcome. Our time is about 22 minutes past the hour of eight. So welcome. My name is Michael Chiavelli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economic, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and number making the headlines. So we keep it clear and always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, spark the meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space. This is your platform to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of these stories. So I know you have been waiting. Good morning and thanks for joining us. If you just joining us now, so welcome. So as usual, let's start with today is the 18th. Today is the 18th of November. So on this day in Africa, we are bringing you significant moments in African history that have actually shaped our continent. So let's start in 1889, November 18th. In 1889, when the Brussels, the capital of Belgium, Brussels anti-slavery conference officially opened. This event was a critical step towards ending the African slave trade, which had caused so much devastation across the continent. So the conference aimed to address the continued exploitation and trade of African people, and it led to the Brussels Conference Act of 1890. Now, though framed as a humanitarian effort, the conference also served colonial interests, as European powers were looking for ways to justify their growing control over African territories. Now, this day, it reminds us of how international effort to combat injustice can often be shaped by broader political and economic agendas. Fast forward to 1993, where South Africa was taking a giant leap towards freedom. On November 18th, 21 political parties came together to approve a new interim constitution, signaling a major step in dismantling apartheid. Now, this was a pivotal moment in South Africa's history as it opened the door to multiracial elections, allowing people of all races actually to participate in the political process of the first, you know, for the first time. Now, it was a step towards healing and also inclusion. So paving way for South Africa to become truly a democratic nation. Now, also on November 18, 2017, Zimbabwe saw a massive public celebration following the military intervention against longtime leader Robert Mugabe. What started as a coup soon turned into a nationwide party as people expressed their joy at the fall of Mugabe's 37-year rule. So the celebration were a symbol of the hope that Zimbabweans had for a future without the oppressive regime they had lived under for so long. So the event of that day were a turning point in the nation's political history. So even at that time, as the future of Zimbabwe remained uncertain. Now, there is more. On November 18th, in 1977, a proposal for the formation of the Southern African Development Coordination Conference, the SADCC, actually was made. This was the first step toward what would later become the Southern African Democratic Community, SADC. Now, the SADCC was born out of the need for regional cooperation, especially during the era of apartheid, when Southern African countries sought to reduce their dependence on apartheid-era South Africa. So it was a bold move towards economic solidarity among African nations, and today SADC continued to play a key role in promoting regional development. And finally, we remember Kensero Wiwa, the Kensero Wiwa, a Nigerian writer and environmental activist. On November 18th, 1993, he was arrested by the Nigerian government. So Kensero Wiwa became an international symbol of resistance against the environmental devastation caused by oil drilling in the Niger Delta. So his activism, despite facing incredible adversity, sparked a global attention to the plight of the regional people and the environment. So, yeah, now as we wrap up today's journey, through history, let's not forget that November 18th also marks Africa Statistic Days. Today is Africa Statistic Day. It's a day dedicated to raising awareness about the crucial role of statistic in shaping Africa's future. So accurate data drives development, development policies, influence economic strategies, and help guide the continent towards sustainable growth. All right, we'll cut up and back.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so...
All right, welcome back. And basically, that's all for today on this day in Africa. And our thought for the day on Tuesday, November the 18th, the thought for the day, don't cut off your nose to spite your face. Don't cut off your nose to spite your face. So the proverb means that you should avoid action that harm yourself in an attempt to hurt someone else or get back to them or get back at them. So it highlights the idea of self-destructive behavior, where in trying to seek revenge or prove a point, you end up actually causing more harm to yourself than to their intended target. Now, in other words, It is a warning against acting out of spite, or out of anger in a way that backfires and ultimately makes your own situation worse. So it encourages thinking carefully about the consequences of your action and not letting emotion cloud your judgment. Well, that's the thought for the day. So don't cut off your nose to spite your face. And through the choices and decisions that you're making today, make sure that your action and that you are careful about the consequences of your action and not let emotion cloud your judgment. All right. So that's what would guide our thought today and our decision today. So, all right, welcome. Our time is about 32 minutes past the hour of 8. We're still okay. All right. So what you can expect today, what are we going to talk about? What is that we're looking at this morning? Well, we're looking at the 5,000 new houses in Commerce Region within a year. That should be built within a year. And the governor, Sam Nujoma, say, I didn't promise that. So we're going to unpack that. And if we still have a time, which we will definitely, the Ministry of Environment, Forestry and Tourism, and this is in yesterday's edition of the Villager. So the ministry say it will only give once off payment to families affected by crocodile attacks, not full compensations. So we're going to look at that, and because there are some legal implication that might come into that. So that's another story that we can look at. Make sure that you stay tuned for that as well. So, all right. So stay tuned. We will be back in a very second,
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back, and good morning to you if you're just joining us now. So you are tuned into Eagle FM, Unpacking the Day with me, Marco Chevedi, and we have an interesting topic to unpack. So the promised 5,000 houses in Commerce, and why the governor is now saying that is not my pledge, that is not my promise. So stay with me as we dig into the facts, we look into the policies, the politics, and what it all means for the 230,000 plus Namibian living in such and informal settlement in Commerce Region. And this is going to be, well, a lovely ride. So now let's have a quick background, a little bit on what we're talking about. Okay. So that we have at least an understanding of what is going on. In April 2024, the new government announced an ambitious target. So an ambitious target of 5,000 new houses in the Commerce Region within a year. 5,000 new houses in the Commerce Region within a year. Now, the idea was to tackle a housing crisis that affected almost half of the region's households. So that's roughly 931,970 people living in makeshift homes, you know? So 231,970 people living in makeshift homes. Now, the plan sit under the SWAPO election manifesto, and the Build Together program was supposed now to be the engine, okay? So now, fast forward to recently, okay? A few days ago. So fast forward to a few days ago, the governor, Sam Nujoma, say, I didn't promise that. It is government promise, not mine. Now, that caused role within the society and within the resident of commerce. So, meanwhile, the other thing is also over 2,000 mass housing units sit empty in Windhoek. Well, opposition are not happy about that. So, and they are sounding the alarm about those 2,000 mass housing that sit empty in Windhoek. So, what is really happening? Okay, what is really happening? Who is accountable? And why are the houses still waiting to be built? We're almost coming to the end of the year. Why are the houses still waiting to be built? Now, let's first of all look at some legal framework, okay? So that we understand the picture completely, okay? Now, first, I want us to look at the law, okay? I'm following Mr. Itula's, I become interested much more in the law, in our laws, whether it's an act or it's a bill or it's a what. So I become a little bit, so that when we talk, we look at the law, okay? Yeah. So now, okay, let's get into this. Now, Namibia's Housing and Urban Development Act, dates of 1995. I think so, yes, of 1995. It gives the national government, okay, and I want you to follow me very well so that you understand why actually the governor said what he said, okay? So that you understand what the governor said. Now, so the Housing and Urban Development Act of 1995 gives the national government the mandate to develop affordable, okay, underline that one. So gave the mandate to develop affordable housing and to regulate informal settlement, okay? Now, the National Housing Enterprise Act of 1998 now it creates the NHE, the body now that should fund and that should build and also then allocated house. So remember, the government has the mandate to develop affordable housing through the Housing and Urban Development Act of 1995. And then the National Housing Enterprises Act then created the NHE, the body that then would do that to fund, build, and locate houses. Now, then you have the Regional Council Act of 1992. Now, this gives governors, so the Regional Council Act of 1992 gives governors oversight over local authorities, but it does not grant them the power to directly construct houses. Okay? That's a key point. So a governor can coordinate and monitor implementation, but the actual building falls to the ministries and municipality bodies. So, in some way, somehow, the governor was right. So he was given an oversight, but he's not actually granted the power to directly construct houses. So that's what he said. So it's to coordinate and monitor implementation. And when the ministry and the municipal bodies are not doing that, so that it doesn't fall, that doesn't fall on the governor. All right? So, I just want us to understand that. Now, in theory, the National Housing Policy of 2020 actually set a target of 10,000 serviced plots annually nationwide, about 10,000 serviced plots annually nationwide. Okay? I said, we love numbers. Understand, when we talk about these numbers, they mean something. They are not just numbers, And, well, we have people who throw them on. I mean, who just, toss them like what? Okay. So National Housing Policy of 2020 set a target of 10,000 service plots annually. That's nationwide. Now, that includes also the 5,000 for commerce. Okay? Now, the policy also calls for public-private partnership. So, and involvement, of course, the involvement of Sheikh Dwellers Federation of Namibia, the SDFN. So on a paper, the framework seems solid. The framework really is solid on a paper. In practice, there are gaps, especially in financing now the energy. There's a gap there. And in coordination now between the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development, the City of Windhoek, and the Regional Governor's Office. All right? So, as I said, in terms of paper, when we look at policies and act, everything is solid. But practically, as I said, there are gaps. First, financing the energy. So, secondly, the coordination between now these bodies, the ministry, the City of Windhoek, the regional governors, there is a gap there as well. But so just pay attention to that, okay? So now let's get to the numbers. As I said, I love numbers. Even I wasn't good at math, okay? So, but numbers tells a lot. Okay, let's crunch some numbers, okay? So what are the numbers saying? Now, 47% of commerce households live in informal settlement. 47%. Now, that's about 231,970 people that are living in an informal settlement. The previous governments, and I want you to listen, okay? The previous government's mass housing program delivered 4,380 units over 10 years. That's now through mass housing program. Okay, delivered 4,380 units over 10 years. That is about, okay, I did math. That is about 438 homes per year. Okay, 438 homes per year through the government's mass housing program. Now, the National Housing Enterprise, NHE, has built 18,304 homes over 31 years. 304 homes over 31 years. And roughly that's about 590 homes per year. Now, so if you follow, the current promise is 5,000 homes in 12 months. That means a tenfold increase over the past performance. So remember, this mass housing program delivered 4,380 units over 10 years. And we would actually do that even more in 1 year, in 12 months. That's a tenfold increase over the past performance. So, now, and that's, it's a massive jump. Now, what I want us to be realistic now, okay? So, I want us to be realistic now. Where will the funding come from? I always ask this question, and there are those who come and say, yeah, if the government have planned what, and okay. No, there are those who just get triggered and then they just react. But think about this. So where will the fund come from? Now, the energy budget, this is now, the energy's budget was was 1.2 billion in 2024. Okay, follow me, follow my argument. So the energy's budget was 1.2 billion in 2024. But the analyst says that, they say the annual cost to build a low-cost house, just an annual cost to build a low-cost house is about 400,000. Okay? Now, multiply that by 5,000. If you multiply the annual cost for a low, just to build a low-cost house is about 400,000. Okay? Now, multiply that by 5,000. And you need, do you know how much you need? Do you know how much? So you probably have calculated that. Now, do you know how much you need? 2 trillion Namibian dollars. 2 trillion Namibian dollars. Clearly, that's a mismatch. That's not even in our budget. That's not even in it's not even equal. I won't even talk about our national budget. That it doesn't work. 2 trillion. Yeah. So the financing gap, guys, is real. No? It's real. It's reflected in the, it's also reflected, you can also that see that in the empty 2,000 unit. Yeah? The empty 2,000 unit stock that was built but never handed over. Yeah? Often because, why? Because of missing utilities, incomplete land servicing, or lack of clear title transfer. So there's so many things. So now let's go a little bit, and I'll just give you the numbers now. Let's play politics. Okay, let's talk politics. All right, the SWAPO manifesto, and I'm gonna shock you maybe. Okay. So the SWAPO manifesto is a political document, not a law. Okay? Follow me and follow my argument. The SWAPO manifesto is a political document. It's not a law. So within that, it can actually set unrealistic goals. They can set actually some lofty goals if they want to. Now, but the difference is, if they want to deliver what is in the political document, so then by delivering them, they require legislative backing. So you require actually a legislative backing and a budget appropriation. So otherwise, it's all talk. It's all goals, you know, and they can be as wild as they can be. They can be as lofty as they can be. So, but delivering those goals, you require then legislative backing and budget appropriation. When Governor Nyoma says that is a manifesto promise, that's what he said. That's a manifesto promise, not mine. He's pointing to a political legal divide. There is that divide. There is a political and there's a legal divide. There's a legal, you know, legal aspect. So, yeah. So when you say that, that's SWAPO manifesto promise, not mine. So he's pointing to that. So that requires, you know, that requires a legislative backing and a budget appropriation for it to be, for you to be able to deliver those promises. Well, we have then the political parties, the opposition actually, you know, getting on this. You have PDM, NUDO, Namibia Economic Freedom Fighters, have all criticized the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development, which is headed by James Sankwasa. And their common thread is nothing is happening. Nothing is absolutely happening. Nothing is happening. Okay? You have also PDM, if you are listening, if you're following, Anna Hungary's calls for, which is very good, I think, which is a very good idea in itself. So calls for a rent control board as a stopgap. Okay? And we have also, while Nudos, Vetaruhe, Kandurudu, highlighted chronic underfunding, and this is what we look at as one of the gap there, underfunding of the energy and the lack of a clear blueprint for informal settlement. There isn't anything that is really very, very clear how to deal with this. Now, even the president, President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, defended the ambition. She defended the ambition, saying Build Together program will be reinforced and the Sec Dwellers Federation will play a bigger role. So here we really have, how would I say it? We have a classic case, eh? That classic case. So you have all these political promises, all right? And as I said, remember what I said, these are not law. The manifesto is not a law, all right? It's a political promises. So then these promises don't match the institutional capacity, or there, and then you have actually the institutional constraint, like energy, where it doesn't have funds. For example, it's not well funded to be able to deliver, or the federation, you know, the Sec Dwellers Federations, or any other, you know, mass housing, you know, organization. So you have the institutional constraints. So you have a promise, this lofty promise. We're going to build 5,000 houses in 1 year, within a year. But then you have institutional structure. You have now institutional, you know, a structure that cannot provide, that cannot perform. So which then create implementation gap. So you have the promises. You have the institutional structures that institutional constraint, which then lead to implementation gaps. That's where we are. Now, the question is, can the government realign its institution to meet the promise? Can it realign its institution to meet the promises? Or will the pledge remain a headline? So otherwise, the promises will just remain headlines. If you're not realigning the institutional strength, if you're not realigning your institutions to meet the promise, that's where the problem is. Think about that. Now, what is really missing? Okay? Let's identify maybe certain things that are not obvious. So we're talking about the financing mechanism. There is no clear public-private partnership model has been announced up to now. It is within NDP 6. So the NHE's capital base is very, 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 very thin. It's very, very thin. It's constrained. And the government has not disclosed, if you know, let me know, has not disclosed any new housing bond or foreign investment plan. I haven't heard anything. If you have, well, let me know. Okay? Let's talk. So, now, the other thing is land servicing delays. The governor, Nioma, mentioned a back and forth between the city and the ministry. Now, the Land Allocation Act of 2009 requires that land be serviced. What that means, be served, you know, the road, the water, electricity, all this should be actually, the road, the water, the electricity, all this should be done before allocation. You understand? So here now we see that delays bottleneck the whole process. So it bottlenecked the whole process. And the other thing is the community participation. The SDFN, the Federation, is also mentioned, but not given a concrete role. So sustainable housing need the community to be part of the planning, to be part. Otherwise, you end up actually with empty houses that people can't afford to live in, like the 2,000 that you have that's standing there for how many long? For 10 years now? Eh? For almost 10 years now. So that, you know, community need to be part of planning. They need to be part of the planning. Otherwise, we have a typical example where we have houses of people that cannot be able to afford to live in. So the other things then is the rural urban imbalance. And there's a point President Karonda of Swano actually reminded us that most Namibians still live in the rural areas. So we're focusing on 5,000 houses in commas may actually look good for urban, you know, for urban voters, but you ignore the 70% rural population, which is a very good point. It's something that we probably need to think about. So, and definitely the disease that we have in this country, the policy enforcement. Remember, we still have a draft, the rent control bill is still in draft, as far as I remember, which actually could have protected tenants if passed. If it was passed, it could actually protect the tenants. But, you know, the delay that we talked about. But it is delayed. So meanwhile, inflated land prices keep affordable housing out of reach. Yeah. So there is a delay in some of those. You know, you remember there was where was it? One, I don't know whether it's the opposition who were asking to really try to finish some to pass some of the bill as soon as possible before next year. Well, and that there was quite a lot of objections or something like that. So delay. So if we would have a rent control bill, that would also, as I said, it would maybe have make a difference when it comes to inflated land prices, you know, which is actually keeping housing, affordable housing, out of many people reach. So in short, the promise is a political headline lacking a solid policy. As we say, there are some policies that are still delayed, or policy enforcement, and lacking a solid policy enforcement, or being the policies are being delayed and all that, and financing, lacking also financing. Energy can't do anything if they don't have money to build the houses, and lacking the implementation backbone. So that's where we are. So what do you think? Now it's your turn, my dear listeners. Do you think the government can actually deliver 5,000 houses in a year? And what would be your suggestion? What is your suggestion as the most urgent step? Okay, you can get to us now. 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091. Do you think the government can actually deliver 5,000 houses in a year, given the statistic that I gave you earlier on, you know, and the lack of money? So 08-333-66-091. So you're welcome to come through and have your contribution or your reaction to that. 0833-66091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 08.
A very good morning.
Yes, morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm all right, my brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, housing problem in Namibia.
Yep.
Hey.
And the promises that are made, and then the governor tells you, well, that's not my promise. That's Swapo's promise.
Which is true.
It is true. And I said he's right, and he's in within. Yeah. He's in within the law. You know, by saying what he said. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You see, the thing is that I think sometimes that this manifesto, eh?
Yeah.
Once a party win, this manifesto we must turn it to law. Where we are going to go to court if they didn't drive
her. Actually, because maybe it should become a contract with which is really signed, become a law in terms of your supporters.
Yeah.
You know?
Serious.
Yeah. So you must sign and
sign,
you must have a representative from your supporters as
exactly.
That we have a contract that this is what you're going to do. And if you don't do it, there will be consequences.
Exactly.
Yeah. And even maybe with step by step, like, okay, and then we see these are the promises you guys have made. Now let's put up step by step. In the first year, this is what we're expecting already.
Let's from you.
In the second year, this is what we're expecting. Step by step. Otherwise,
step
we
by
make
step.
These huge, you know, goals that sometimes absolutely, when you're looking at the performance that they have gone by, it's absolutely unrealistic. Maybe it's realistic if there were money. Now, but you need $2 trillion, just to build 5,000 houses.
Just imagine. $2 trillion, where are you going to get it?
Where are you going to get that?
We're already having a lot of problems in the country already, like Australia, there's no medicine. And you are spending $2 trillion in what? In housing only. That dream is, I'm telling you, it's a what?
Yeah, no, if you look at the budget already in 2024, $1.2 billion, and that was given to energy. And mostly what analysts say that you probably, you need about, a low-cost house is about 400,000, you know? And you times that by 5,000, so that gives you, you need that amount of money to be able to build those houses. You know,
Michael, my problem with when it comes to energy is that we have institutions who are having learned by the people who are not competent and they are having bad mind.
Yeah.
Why I'm saying that is because you cannot tell me we have even a private bank here owning what flats.
Yeah.
But here you are having what energy who are just relying on government handouts. And they are really not coming up with anything to generate their income.
Yeah.
It's a hard time, I think. Government institutions must learn by the people who are competent, who know what they are doing. Because up to now, NIT, I don't know. Their mandate it was good, but really, they are becoming not really functionally companies.
But when you look at also the amount of money that they are given, there was, I don't know whether the president who have said this, why can't we do with the small that we have?
Exactly.
That's still, why step by step. Is it really that there are no affordable materials, you know, cheaper materials that we can be able to build, that we can be able to use to provide affordable homes? Seriously? No one can make some research,
something which is
something
cheap,
like that, which is something, you know. Nando matujo kakwaya o.
The problem is that, you know, Mike, the problem is too, we are not really communicating when we come to VTC.
Yeah.
And we are doing it the old fashioned way. We just want to have a brick house. We say brick house, only the housing we can have in Namibia. Because we see in other countries, we are doing even, they are even what, a wooden house. Like in America.
Yeah.
You talk even about like, in Western countries like England and Germany.
Yeah.
Wooden house, they are just comfortable. They are just proper house.
Yeah. There was also someone last time we talked about housing as well. And he said, who says actually people like in those areas? What all people need, he just need a space of his own, and a good corrugated iron home.
I'm telling you,
I have a kitchen, I have a two-bedroom.
Yeah, flushing toilet.
Flushing toilet in there.
Exactly.
So what is wrong with that? That's all what people want.
Yeah.
Because that's all what they can afford.
Huh? I'm telling you. Because now look, you are talking about even like a... mass housing, they say for poor people. Who can afford, how many people are able to afford a 400,000 house?
Yeah.
Hey. If you, they already struggle even to put up a kabashu, who is very cheap. And then the, for example, you find a family of five, they are living in what? In that kabashu, but they're just having what? Five seats.
Yeah.
On top. For the roof. Do you think the people, they are able to pay even the services. Once you build up like what? Yeah. What I'm thinking of is that, you know, sometimes we say this, but I'm telling you, I think if municipality they just come up with a good method where they say, no, guys, we are going to service the land. We are going to give it to you. Then you build whatever you, if I'm just giving you a guarantee of what, 5 years. If you don't build it, I'm going to take that element and then I give it to somebody else.
Yeah.
People who are able, because we have people who have money. I'm not, to be honest, living in Kabashu.
Mm.
Because you find a person who is driving an X5 BMW. I'm telling you in Kabashu.
Yeah.
Do you think this person is not able to buy? But the problem is that their house are required with what? Even a payslip.
Mm.
But some people, they're having money more than even a person who, a teacher.
Yeah.
But they have a payslip.
Yeah.
No, and no, NHA, they need a payslip, you know, for you to qualify for housing. Sometimes I think it's a miscommunication when it comes to this thing because they never consult the public.
Yeah, no, that's the thing.
And this is a reality.
But the one thing that we don't look at seriously, and I don't think, sometimes I said, we Namibians deserve to be where we are. So, because if you look at how many houses have been built for 31 years, 18,000.
Just imagine. I'm a friend.
18,000 homes built by
energy. Are you joking?
Eh?
18, then you are telling the... The population is increasing what? From 2 point something to 3 point something million. Yeah? Then we are building 18 house. Come on,
18,000, you know?
It's a joke of the day. It's a joke of the day, my friend.
Now that's not that we are not serious. Yeah.
No, we are not.
Our citizen of this country, we deserve better and we should demand better.
I'm telling you. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You know,
and it's sometimes like when you are, and I think this is a problem that we need to wake up as citizen of this country if you want something better. Because when you now demand things, is maybe you are not a, a good political party member. You understand? You're not a good PDM, you're not a good IPC, you're not a good SWAPO member, you're not a good, you know, when you demand what you actually deserve as a citizen of this country.
Some of the people even get angry. Like now, when the way we are talking to you, and like, because a lot of people, they are just realizing now, 18 house for 35 years.
For 31 years.
Hey, what does it tell you? And we are building like a 400 house a year. What is that now? We are talking about we are talking about not even just in one local authority, like maybe in Windhoek, or we are talking about the whole country.
Yeah, we're talking about mass housing programs that are meant to actually provide housing for poor people, you know.
Yeah. Mike, I said
and
that
the
we are not.
The national housing enterprise that was supposed to build, you know, home for and roughly they built about 509 home per year. That's what they build almost roughly, you know.
Just imagine, you see now, and you are here telling people that everything would be fine. How we are going to do it to jump from 400 to 5,000? How?
Yeah.
If we are struggling already to make up even like what? 2,000 housing pay. The thing is that, Mike, the way I'm looking at it, is that we have people who become absolutely like they don't care about the nation anymore. Because if you look the way we are crying for water, just clean water. We are crying for electricity. Just electricity, which we are having sunlight everywhere. We are supposed to have a big solar system. Which can power up even what, just a one local authority, even like Lalana, just been powered by solar energy.
Yeah.
But we are going all the way to spend our money to Eskom, South Africa. We are going all the way to spend our money to Zimbabwe. We are going to just for electricity.
Yeah.
And now, when you look at it, we are going, come now, we are partnering up with what, Germany. This is not our thing. This is German product. I mean, because now, remember, they are even now, they put up money. Because now, and this is what we as an Indian, we don't realize. That Germany is crawling back the way they come in with a colonial era. Now they are coming back.
It's just in different form.
Different form. Exactly.
Form.
Yeah.
It's just
and we don't realize.
It's just a different
until,
times. Different
yeah,
times,
yeah, yeah.
Different way of doing things.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And I remember one thing that now German, they become what, they need us more than we need them.
Of course.
Because remember, Russia, they cut off their gas. And now they are looking for alternative where they can able to get. Then they find the stupid African Namibian who are not able to think out of the box. Because remember, up to now, Germany, they are still not even paying our genocide people.
Yeah.
They are offering a small amount of money comparing to money which they spend in the war in Ukraine. And then now we are opening up our arm to welcome them back without getting what we deserve when it comes to genocide. Because I'm telling you, my brother, remember one thing that this is so, when you think about our economy, what we are going through, then you look how many German cars have been traveling, even on our governments, our office bearers. They are all buying Mercedes. And those are German cars. We are all driving, either we are driving Golf or Tiguan. Those are German. Why they're not able even to come up with a prediction when you are crying for unemployment in Namibia? Yeah. To put up even a Volkswagen. Plantation in Namibia. But we are here, Kamano, we are partnering up about for green hydrogen. Thing is, we don't even have any knowledge.
For how long we have been spoken about that? And the electricity still goes up. Your electricity still goes up, you know.
Five years ago,
the $10 give you some, you know, some unit.
Yeah. Talk about even like 400. 400, they only get what? 130.
You see?
You need.
Yeah.
Just imagine.
So, but
where all those air?
But we're still talking. No, we have green hydrogen. We have whatever. But still, the electricity still goes up.
You know? It's still going up. And now everything is becoming expensive because electricity. Once electricity energy is going up like petrol, then everything moves together.
Right.
No. It's a hard time, I think, when it comes to housing. Maybe, I think we have a people who can listen like now, James Sangwasa. And if James Sangwasa is listening seriously, it's a hard time, I think, to conduct this local authority.
But you need more?
This by law, to change you... them with their law. Because I think that this law which they're having is not really suitable for our citizens. Look, you can tell me, we have people who are able to buy Amalok living in Kabasho. But because of this person is not having a pay slip, is not qualified to have housing.
Yeah.
You see, these are things which are breaking our people and the progress of our people. Because now, remember, once you are not having what utility of like a power, because go to Havana and the Goriakaba now or Kanja Park, you see how the people are able to buy what 10,000 electrical wires. For what? Illegal.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering even why is even the municipality not come up? Just my thinking, because I'm sometimes we are not aware what is going on. But my stupid thinking is that why is the municipality not giving able amount to give it to people who are living in Kabasu who are willing to buy a box?
Mm-hmm.
They are not able to make more money.
They would. Yeah.
This is what I'm wondering. Because I'm telling you, people are still having electricity for what illegal one, which are mostly even causing a problem.
Yeah.
Sometimes they even end up even injuring people when this were what on the ground and they are not. Sometimes they are what, and sometimes they also even come up with what fire burning of the kabashos.
Mm.
But I'm telling you. It's a hard time, I think, municipalities have to think out of the box. Even in this Goriakab dam, they're able to generate what electricity, because what we see in other countries is that they're having biomass. They're having what, there are so many things they're able to generate electricity. Even the waste which we are, only got one company, which is doing monopoly, lend a drum here.
All right.
They are getting away with it. But this is, we continue to generate this generation.
Yeah.
This waste management, whatever you call it. But seriously, I think James Sangwasa have to come up with something. Maybe sometimes come and then you conduct the what a public what they are able to come up with.
Yeah. So let's hear what others have to say, man.
Mm. All right, my brother.
Okay, great.
Sure.
Yeah.
0833-66091. We're talking about 5,000 house pledge, you know. So let's wrap up that, you know, in terms of what we have been talking, what we went through. Now, the 5,000 house pledge, and I said to you, is a political promise, okay? It's a political promise from the SWAPO manifesto, not a legal binding commitment of the governor, okay? That should be very clear. So that's not a legal binding commitment of the governor. So, and we talked about that. So the other thing is the legal now framework, the legal framework to have to exist. The Housing Act, we have those legal framework. We have the Housing Act, we have the Energy Act, we have the Regional Council Act. But the problem is the financing, the land servicing, the interdepartmental coordinations are weak, you know? So, yeah.
Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Bon dia, familia.
Bon dia. Como está?
Bom, obrigado. E tu ali?
Ah, não tem problema.
Não, hoje tem problema.
Não tem problema.
Yeah. É tudo bom?
Yeah, tudo bem.
Yeah. I think it's not the swap or all-in problem.
Definitely not.
All of the political parties who are also go to the manifesto, they come with their stories.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of lucky. Who do you vote? How he think about the country? Because you know, to tell somebody what you want to do is normal. It's like what we do in reality when you tell our, when you promise a woman. Even if you, our wife calls now here in this radio, they'll tell him, no, this is the man when he, before he married me, he tell me, he'll buy you what. Yeah. He didn't do it. It's normal. But it just depends of, we just keep voting until you're gonna, one day, you're gonna be lucky and vote the right person. Just like when you marry a woman, you want to see what this woman gonna do for you. Maybe it's a really productive woman who will really fight for you to live a good life. You find somebody who tell you something else.
That's what I'm saying, that we should have actually some sort of a contract now. Okay, if I'm a SWAPO member, so I would love now to have a contract with my leaders, you know, that this is what you're gonna do. Okay. So it shouldn't be just, as I said here, I'm saying these are political promise, you know, any political, but they make political promise, but those have to become law and they have to have, you know, financial, bad backing for it to be able to be realized in reality. So, and sometimes that is within the government structure rather than within the SWAPO, you know, structure. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? So what we're saying that also that let's avoid making those, you know, lofty goals that we, you know, that give people's hope, but while we know where we are as a country, either in terms of really our finance as a country, and otherwise now we say 5,000 houses in a year, and we couldn't actually do that in 10 years.
Mm-hmm. But if you have a good leadership, you can just accomplish that in 1 year. It's normal. You can do it in 1 year if you have a leadership which is so transparent and you know. But you know, if the leader you vote is having other ideas, are doing something else and doesn't care about it, then you go on and vote as other one. But if sometimes they also. The truth sometimes hurt, you know. If I tell the truth, it'd be crazy.
Yeah.
I need to put some spice on it. I need to put some spice. Tell me, brother, this is what this is. Just for you to follow me.
It's difficult to say, guys, we have nothing in the coffee. It's like a parent having a house.
You just come home. Your mother know this. This is the last meal we eat this morning. Yeah. There's not even maize meal at home.
Yeah.
She'll put some, he'll put even water.
Yeah.
Then you know that there's no flour. If you tell you that, say, my son, we don't have food to eat. Mm. Those people, they won't come home. They're going to be mafias.
Actually, when you are told there are no food, you will even be more hungry, you know?
Yes, and hungry and angry. You'll be even angry to say, man, how come there's no food, you know? Yeah, it's normal, you know. You need to push spice. We just, what we need to focus, just, okay, it's just made of luck. It's not made of, you know how to lead because you are good to this guy. No, my brother, it's just made of luck.
But the thing here is really, when we look at seriously, is now looking at the trajectory, you know, we're looking at, are we, you know, now serious, we're asking ourselves as an individual, we're facing ourselves, as a citizen of Namibia, and looking at, are we really moving forward in this aspect? Maybe there are aspects that we are moving forward. Yes. So now we're looking at, are we really moving forward in this aspect, in this sector? Or what is that? What is that we need to change?
Eh?
Actually moving at the pace of the population. For example, we're talking about resettlement, and the reason why we're talking about the informal settlement, it's where now you need to improve the living standard of the people. But are we moving at the pace of how this is actually happening? You know,
I think just a matter of, you know, where we were previous years, we are so behind in terms of communication. The radio is going to speak about a party, they'll cut you off. You're going to mention somebody's name, they'll cut you off.
Yeah.
Now, I think we are moving forward because we have a good communication. You can mention, people are listening to us. And some, you bring a good idea, is marked somewhere. that idea is going to use the country to think. But I think we are okay. We are not so bad to say we are bad. Just like example I'm giving, you see the same Lima Stadium.
Yeah.
Same Lima Stadium. The problem was the municipality, not even the NFA, but we are blaming the NFA. NFA was saying, okay, give me that stadium. I want to fix it. The municipality said, no, if you give to NFA, then what will have? So this is how we need to infrastructure this stadium first to make money. So the problem was the communication was not there. If you look about it also on the agriculture, there was no communication. If you go, like, for example, to Etunda, how many of these people are telling you, my brother, we write letters to minister, but we never get a response. So there were not a good communication. That's what make us to be so far. But I think we are in the good direction now.
Yeah, but the thing is that, okay, the other thing is that it's not just to put a band on the wound, you know. Mm. You need to clean the wound, you know, to make sure that the wound is clean so that it can heal, you know. Mm. But if we just put the band on the wound and you haven't cleaned the wound, you know, it will still get infected and still, you know, cause a problem again. So, and as much as sometimes, you know, when it comes to, and this is one thing I always, when you have a discussion with people, sometimes they will tell you, okay, no, but we're doing fine. Okay. Mm. That's fine. But you are not. So, and it doesn't bring out, the whole idea is to bring out, let's talk, let's converse, let's talk out, what are the issues? Because when we say, I'm fine, it's like when you say, how are you? I'm fine. But you are just use the word, I'm fine, but you have a host of issues that you actually have that you need to spoke about. You understand? So in platform like this, we need to say, yes, this is actually happening. This is good, what is happening. But but we need to do this. This is a problem. Yeah. We need to deal with this. We need to do, not just put a blanket, things are good, you know, or they are going well. No. Yeah. Let's talk issues.
Yeah, my fine is in terms of communication in the radios.
Yeah.
That I'm saying we are fine on in terms of, because if you have a problem, and if you never talk about your problem, how do people know about your problem? And the things to the West. The same thing, you have a house which is leaking, simple, a leak of water. If you don't block that thing, one day you'll be flooded. So now the good thing we have, we are talking about our issues. We are openly. Nobody will stop you.
Yeah.
This country cannot even mention the name of SWAPO in the country. You'll be in trouble.
Yeah.
Yes, but here we can say SWAPO, RPP, what you can mention, because they want, that's the what the system allowing us for us to be having a open communication, and that I'm happy for it, because I can speak and say, I have a problem here, we don't have electricity, we don't have water, and you see how, you know, if you don't talk, you don't talk about something, you'll be in trouble. So even when it comes to medications, if you just keep quiet, my brother will be in trouble, because we are talking about, look now, last of last year, I think we have issues of the water in the north, side of Congo. But things are, you see the paper telling you there's boreholes here. People are listening. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Maybe before, we never have this kind of communication. Yeah, you don't complain, you don't talk.
So there's coming up quickly, there's coming up now. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Imbaya riri ombwa nai etetla weda ko ombuni kire ombe ombi hukusha. Njiviro yoye iriri ombupu o hatane na wina ikare no matha kumurungi wa indu. Wari rongere kusha umune ondengu ukura kwa imba. Una oviume dia peke o gondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwezi. Po tuika ovinki no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva. O peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva. O peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva. O peresente umurongo ivari na dano. Miede mulungwa na ivari moshimarifu. Itoolorela ondengu jima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyangu kife. Ashi esho imba ye kupe oshimariva shishihina umarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno uyeru haka enina. Itako na wina rishangika jimu.
Gat. Alright, your last words.
Just to wrap it up, just to say, the method of leadership or a leader, just a method of lucky. If you go today to the to this court, you find a bunch of people who are divorcing because they think this guy's a good guy. Later on, he realize this guy is doing like a fish or no a fish. This guy, you know, yeah, it's normal. You need just to pray to say, God, give us the right person one day.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to come. But if you say, because, you know, you cannot rape people. You must propose a woman. No. Talk to her.
Yeah, But also, it's not just praying, but it's also making sure that, you know, we also do something to create that type of environment and people. Yeah.
Make sure it's the problem because you don't know. Maybe you might put the wrongest guy on the driving seat.
All right.
Thank you, man. I don't want to take too much long. Thank you.
Thanks for coming. Yeah.
All right.
All right. 08333-66-091. We are unpacking the 5,000, you know, house pledge. So, which the governor said, well, that is not my, you know, my pledge. All right. So, yeah, as we said, I was just actually wrapping up in terms of not wanting to go through everything again in terms of that. Here we see the number shows a really huge gap between past deliveries. We see that huge gap. We acknowledge, you acknowledge the effort that people are putting in. Of course, you acknowledge, you know, what you see, if you see policies that are put in now to change things. And, yeah, but it also has to be, and that's what I said, you have to be realistic as well, you know. So it shows, as I said, the numbers show a huge, huge gap between, you know, past deliveries, the 500 houses a year, and the current target, which is actually 5,000 a year, you know. So, well, the previous caller said, well, if you have a good leader, you know, it's possible, but you need money as well. So, and you have to add up, you know, our budget is constrained. It's very, very constrained with many, many, many responsive, pressing issues, very pressing issues, you know. So, yeah. Political voices, when we talk about from the president to the opposition MPs, all are pointing to a lack of concrete action. There's a lack of concrete actions. So, and we need, what is that probably we need? We need a clear financial. It's not just hoping to have a good leader, but we also need a financing strategy. So we need a fast land servicing, because that's also one highlighted as an issue. Land servicing, a fast land servicing. That's the huge, 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 huge problem. And everybody, you know, when it comes to land, that's the issue that we need to deal with. Community involvement. We need community involved. And we need also then to balance, you know, rural-urban approach. So we're not just focusing on the urban, but we also then need to see, to balance the rural-urban issues or approach to land and housing. 08333-66-091 is the number that you can, you know, call. All right. So let's move to, yeah, you're most welcome at any time. I will let you, if you want to go to still actually, you know, add your opinion, your whatever on the story that we have covered so far. So let's go to the story of yesterday. This was a story in the village. Sorry, my mind was somewhere else. All right. So it was the story in the Villager yesterday. In the Villager, we have a story by Anacleta. Now, In brief, it's about the Ministry of Environment, Forest and Tourism say it only give once off payment, you know, to families affected by crocodile attack, not full compensation. So there were two children, that the two children have already been lost in the Kamchonga area of the Kavango East, and a 71-year-old man survived a recent burn. Also, community are angry. Just to give you a brief, community are angry and demanding more protection and a real help. Now, I want to stay tuned as we unpack what is really happening and why the ministry response matter, because it's really matter why the ministry actually responds in this way and what this means for all of us, maybe who live near our rivers so and exposed to this kind of dangers. All right. Now, so from the very beginning, let's look at what is in the story. Maybe let's start with the facts. We're looking at some facts, actually. So between September and November 2025, just between September and November 2025, four crocodile attacks were recorded in the Mukwe constituency. That's Kavango East. All right. So two victims were children, a 25th of October, and a 9-month baby on 29th September, and both were fetching water from the river. Now, the 71-year-old man survived an attack on the 4th of November after a quick trip to Rundu Hospital. Now, the ministry says it has already removed four crocodiles suspected of the attack. Has actually removed, that means has killed those four crocodiles. They also claim to have rolled out several mitigation measures. Now, what are those mitigation measures? Are like an all-day borehole. You know, you have an all-day borehole that's made water available. A second borehole at Muichiku, a crocodile enclosure near Popa 4, and a thorn bush barriers, you know, those as a barrier to the animals, and ongoing awareness campaigns. So those are the mitigation measures that the ministry say, and I say claimed, because that's the word that is used. They have claimed, could be disputed by the community. Now, but the community in Kamchonga says those steps are too little, too late. They are too little, too late. All right. So what happened already. So, all right. Now, the ministry spokesperson, Despala, Despanda Hamnyera, explained that the ministry does not provide compensation under any law. All right. It offers a once-off payment once an investigation is finished and a required document. It requires a document of death certificate, a DNA result, etc. Those need to be submitted. So to be able to provide that once-off payment. So investigation has to be, have it to be finished. Now, why does the minister draw this line? Why the minister actually draw this line? Let's look at some of the legal provision that we have. We have now the Namibia's Environmental Management Act. So, Environmental Management Act of 1998 and the Wildlife Act of 1970. This give the government authority to manage human wildlife conflict, but they do not actually contain a statutory compensation scheme for victims. So in those statutories, they do not contain some kind of a statutory compensation scheme for the victims. Nada, there's nothing in Environmental Management Act and also in Wildlife Act. So the other thing is then, we're looking at why Ministry Act draw this line, because also the other thing is that the ministry's annual wildlife conflict budget is roughly 15 million. So a fraction of, if you think of 150 million allocated to the national health sector, so that's a really quite very small 15 million. Now, so the government, the other thing is also that the government actually focuses more or emphasizes more preventive measures. You know, things like boreholes, barrier, like we mentioned earlier, education campaign, and rather than actually post-incident payout, they don't have like these schemes of post-incident payout. They're more emphasizing on a preventive measures. So rather having boreholes so that people don't go to the rivers, barriers that would prevent any more maybe coming out, education campaign and all that. Now, the ministry says the ones of cash is meant as a emergency relief. All right? It's meant as an emergency relief, not a full settlement. So it's not some kind of a full settlement. It's an emergency relief. So it's usually between 10,000 to 25,000, depending on the case. So 10,000 to 25,000, depending on the case. Now, let's ask. That's what we do here, okay? Does this approach, I'm asking you now, does this approach really help families who have lost a child? So I try to look at even the law, what the law provides, what is the provision in the law, and what the ministry does and the approach and all that. Does this approach really help families who have lost a child? Or does it merely... Sometimes it looks like it's a merely tick a box for the government. Okay, that's, yes. All right, here is your 10,000. All right, good, you know. So this approach, think of this. Does it really help the families who have lost a child? So let's hear. When you go into the paper, when you read it, you probably read it. On the ground, the families feel the pain is being reduced to a number. Some of them feel that, okay, their pain is actually reduced to just a number. We have, in the stories, we have Franz Shikusho, a grieving uncle, said the ministry cash cannot replace a loss. A nine-year-old future. It cannot replace a nine-year-old future. Their schools, their dreams, their family support. That cannot be able to replace that. So you have also Anastasia Nyuru, a mother of the nine-month-year-old, so told the villager that she still has nobody to bury. She still has nobody to bury. The DNA test is still pending. So we also had a community organized. I'm just trying to bring you a sentiment of the people. The community organized a peaceful protest earlier this month, you know, and their demands, what were they demanding? So these are some of the things. These are some of the things that they were demanding. They were demanding a fast response, that there should be more patrol, quicker removal of a dangerous crocodile. When a crocodile has been has actually committed that, should be done quickly. It should be removed quickly, because so in some cases it allowed to attack again. So you know how government goes slow. So that faster response is what they demanded. So they also demanded adequate support, enough support. So not just cash, because they're also thinking of counseling, medical aid, and transport to help families. So these are some of the things, and the transparent in investigation. There's also something that they're asking. The public wants to see the process, not just hear about, so they don't just want to hear about that there are four crocodiles removed and they haven't seen that. So they want to see the process as well. So, and these are not just emotional appeal. These are not just emotional appeal. They highlight the gap between, you can see that this is actually highlighting the gap between the policy, between the policy intent, what is the policy intending, and the lived reality. Because that's what is the policy intent and what is the lived reality. There's that gap. So you can see that there's a really, really that gap. So now, so let's look at this. I want us to look at the, when I talk about the, let's just remind me something which I took actually. Where is this? There are these policies. And that's what I'm saying. There, this policy intends. There are this policy. Let's look at the statutes that government actually, that govern this issue. Let's look at some statutes that actually govern the issue that we're talking about, and see what is actually missing in terms of this case, of cases like this. Okay, so where is the gap? We're looking at where is the gap. Okay. In terms of the policy, legal and policy that we have. So we have Environmental Management Act. Now, what is the mandate? What it say? The mandate, what it says that it mandates sustainable use of natural resources in protection of biodiversity. But there is no, what is missing in this act is there is no explicit provision for victim compensation in human wildlife kind of conflict. There is nothing. There's no compensation in the human wildlife conflict. There's nothing in this, there's no explicit provision within this, in this act. And then you have Wildlife Act, which allows the minister now to declare species a pest and order removal. Okay. Have it actually killed. In this also does not require. It doesn't also, what is missing also for our cases that we're looking at, it does not require a compensation fund for victims. So that's another. There's no compensation fund for the victim as well. And then we have the, we talk about the people actually going to fetch water from the rivers. So we have a national water policy. Now, the national water policies encourage safe water access, which means borehole development and community participation. Okay. Now, within this also, what is missing for our case in this act as well, in this policy, is that no concrete enforcement mechanism for river safety near higher risk zone, for example. So that is also not there. So, and then you have social act. You have now social society. So your social security act of 1995. So what does it that the social security provide for benefits for dependent of deceased workers. You know, it provide that benefit for to dependents. So if somebody they provide now defendant provide benefits to defendant of deceased workers, but it only applies to those who have formal employment, and most river fetching families are informal. So they also don't have access. They also, this is also missing in their case. So, and you have your, there's also the National Rural Development Program, the NRDP of 2021 to 2026. So this one prioritizes infrastructure in a remote areas, for example, boreholes and roads and things like that. So, and funding in terms of those things, always delayed. We talked about earlier, no specific line for human wildlife conflict mitigations in the National Rural Development Program. So as you can see, when we look at our case, at this case, there's a lot of policy in act that actually, you know, that where actually this case is not catered. Where we see what is a lot missing for our case, for this story. So because the law, it does not speak directly to crocodile attack compensation, the ministry fall back on its administrative discretion. Now, this create now a police vacuum that community feel in their everyday lives. So now, because the discretion now is depending on administrative discretion of the ministry. But there's also a constitution. There's a constitution. The constitution guarantees the right to life, right to health, a right to decent standard of living. You know, your Article 15. Now, if the state... No, seriously. Let me have a little bit of order. If the state failed to protect citizens from known, this is known, known preventable hazard, for example, it may actually be breaching its constitutional duty. No, seriously. It actually breaches its constitutional duty. Now, maybe the key question is, should the parliament actually introduce a specific, given what we look at, should the government maybe introduce a specific crocodile conflict compensation act? We need to. There are countries who have things like that. Or should, maybe we don't need to introduce a crocodile conflict compensation act, but or should existing framework now be amended to embed a clear, timely, adequate support system? Maybe we should, the existing one, we should amend them, really, so that it catered to some of these, of this issue. Now, so if we look at the number, that look at how big is this, actually, how big is this problem of crocodile attack in the Kavango region? And, I mean, this is not new. I mean, attacks are not new. But they are arising. As we see, they are really arising. According now to the ministry on 2024-2025 wildlife conflict report, there were 28 recorded attacks. 28 recorded attacks nationwide last year. This was last year. And 15% of, and if, compared to 2023, this is an increase, a 15% increase from 2023. So there is an increase. So Kavango East alone accounted for 7 attacks. That's about 25% of the national total. So children under 12 years made up 43% of the victims. So it is more children that are actually being attacked, you know, in this human wildlife conflict. So 12%, I mean 43% of victims are children under the age of 12 years. Now, when we look at the human wildlife conflict index, the index of United Nations Development Plan, I mean the UN, when we look at the UNDP 2023, the Human Wildlife Conflict Index, it places Namibia at 0.69 is actually a moderate risk, but the index notes that inadequate community awareness, it notes that inadequate community awareness as the key driver. The reason is that there is no enough community awareness. So that's actually the driver of this conflict, of this attacks, of people not being aware. Okay? Now, if we compare comparatively, South Africa, for example, introduced, that's why I said South Africa introduced a crocodile management fund in 2021. So allocating 20 million rand annually for emergency assistance. So not only emergency assistance, community education, and also a rapid some kind of rapid response team. You have a rapid response. If something happened, you have a team that actually respond quickly. So they have a crocodile management fund, which was established in 2021. So that's why maybe it was introduced. Let's not say established. So maybe we should look at similar things. Namibia currently budget, as I mentioned earlier, is far low. Far low. And there is no dedicated fund. Okay? Let be clear about that. There's no dedicated fund for that. Now, this figure shows that the problem is systemic. And it's not isolated to, what is that, Domkunda? That Kamachonga. It's not isolated to Kamachonga. The data also underline why national strategy is needed. We need a national strategy. Because the data, we see that it's rising. So we shouldn't just have an ad hoc payment depending on the administrative discretion. There must be a national strategy. We see the data. The data is quite off. It's quite clear. So it's underlined why we need a national strategy. So what can be done? Yeah, looking at what other people have been doing, okay? We need to establish a crocodile conflict compensation fund or somehow included into existing, maybe amendment of some existing act. We need a transparent pool fed by a small levy on tourism like other countries are doing. For example, wildlife park entry fees or something like that just to, to feed this fund. So establish a crocodile conflict compensation fund. So the other thing is also the national policy, the national water policies. So strengthen the national water policy. Mandate, kind of like mandating all the villages within 5 kilometers of a river, maybe to have at least one functional borehole. The reason why people go to the river is because there are no water available. So make sure that within 5 kilometers of a river, you have at least one functional borehole. And that would then be able to reduce the daily river contact. So it will reduce that. So then, like in Katima, I think they're like in Zambezi, not in Katima, like in Zambezi, they have something community range program in Zambezi region. Maybe have the same thing, which is a community-led monitoring. Train local volunteers. Train local volunteers to report crocodile sightings, which is actually similar to community ranger program in Zambezi regions. So there's also an issue. Earlier on, we see that there is DNA delayed. A family cannot be able to have a closure because they can't bury. They don't have the bones or whatever for their the remaining of their children or whoever is attacked. So we need to have a fast track DNA and forensic services, And why don't you have a lab in Rundu? So you cut to cut that identification time from weeks to day. Then if you have it in Rundu, you cut that that long identification time from weeks, maybe to days. So create that rapid response lab in Rundu. This is where things are happening. This is where the actions are. So people are also complaining in terms of this. They said it's not just money. Maybe we need to integrate it, mental health support as well. Partner with the ministry. We need to partner up with the Ministry of Health and Social Service to provide counseling to affected, families. And these steps could this is what is coming from the communities themselves. These are something that are coming from the community themselves. This is things that we need to look into. So, and these steps could bridge the gap between, you know, between policy and people. And they also align. They are also aligned with Namibia Vision 2030, which actually calls for inclusive development and safety for all citizens. All right? So, maybe things that you can discuss as I'm handing over to Tate France. Yeah. So have you or someone you know been affected by wildlife conflict? So what do you think of the ministry's once-off payment, that once-off payment? Do you believe a dedicated compensation fund is the answer? So that's for you to discuss. And, you know, and have a conversation on these issues. Now, remember, a healthy community is built when we speak up. When we speak up. A healthy community is built up when we speak up. Hold our leaders accountable and work together for a safer, for example, safer rivers for those of us living in those areas. So, well, until next time, I'm leaving you in the hands of another capable man who can take you to another journey, a very disgusting journey on a different topic. Make sure that you join him right away from here. And I'm crossing over to Windhoek, to Tate France. For me, I don't even know whether I'm off because, you know, I can't see whether they are connected. So from me, it's a goodbye until tomorrow. So let's do this again tomorrow at the same time here on the same your favorite station, Eagle FM. Bye for now.